Hello, angels. It is me, Willow, and I am here with what I believe to be the sixth. You would think by now I would probably look these things up, but I didn't, and I won't. We are actually starting on page 101, so we're 100 pages into the book, which means we're about halfway done, which means I'm sad, because I want this book to go on forever. If you haven't heard the original parts of this, I suggest you do that before you listen to this one, because it won't make any fucking sense. They can be found pinned in the media channel of my Discord server. They can be found on Twitter if you scroll through my thirst posts and recently lipstick. And you can find them on my Safe for Work audio index on Reddit, which I will update after I upload this. So hopefully by the time you're clicking on it, you should be able to find them. I think all but the most recent one is up there. Oh, my glasses. I don't have my glasses on. I'm cozy and comfortable. I have the fan on, which I don't normally do when I read, but, there's a smudge on my glasses. But, it's really warm, as it has become spring, like, overnight, and, I want the fan on. So if it's really annoying, I'll listen for the background noise next time, and I'll do it different. But for now, this is what we get and what we're stuck with. Okay. Get cozy and comfortable. I am in bed. I'm cozied up, curled up in a little ball. Have something to drink. Have my glasses on. No candle today. Oh well. Anyway, without further ado, I'm going to assume that we're going to be doing chapters 11 and 12. If I get really invested and upset and want to continue reading, we might read a little further. But I've been doing this in chunks of two, and I kind of would feel bad if I like break it up. But it only looks like 20 pages, so we'll see. Anyway, here we go. Chapter 11 of... I didn't even tell you what we were reading. Lois Lowry's The Giver. Jesus Christ, Willow. Okay. Anyway, chapter 11. Jonas felt nothing unusual at first. He felt only the light touch of the old man's hand on his back. He tried to relax, to breathe even. The room was absolutely silent, and for a moment Jonas feared that he might disgrace himself now, on the first day of his training, by falling asleep. Then he shivered. He realized that the touch of the hands felt suddenly cold. And in the same instant, breathing in, he felt the air change. His very breath was cold. He licked his lips, and in doing so, his tongue touched the suddenly chilled air. It was very startling, but he was not at all frightened now. He was filled with energy, and he breathed again, feeling the sharp intake of frigid air. Now, too, he could feel the cold air swirling around his entire body. He felt it blow against his hands where they lay at his sides and over his back. The touch of the man's hands seemed to have disappeared. Now he had become aware of an entirely new sensation. Pinpricks? No, because they were soft and without pain. Tiny, cold, feather-like feelings peppered his body and face. He put out his tongue again and caught one of the dots of cold upon it. It disappeared from his awareness instantly, but he caught another, and another. The sensation made him smile. One part of his consciousness knew that he was still lying here, on the bed, in the annex room. Yet another, separate part of his being was upright now, in a sitting position, and beneath him he could feel that he was not on the soft, decorated bed covering at all, but rather seated on a flat, hard surface. His hands now held, though at the same time they were still motionless at his sides, a rough, damp rope. And though he could see, though his eyes were closed, he could see a bright, whirling torrent of crystals in the air around him, and he could see them gather on the backs of his hands like cold fur. His breath was visible. Beyond, through the swirl of what he now somehow perceived was the thing the old man had spoken of, snow, he could look out and down a great distance. He was up high someplace. The ground was thick with furry snow, but he sat slightly above it and on a hard, flat surface. Sled, he knew abruptly. He was sitting on a thing called a sled, and the sled itself seemed to be poised at the top of the long, extended mound that rose from the very land where he was. Even as he thought the word mound, it was new to his consciousness, and it told him hill. Then the sled, with Jonas itself upon it, began to move through the snowfall, and he understood instantly now that he was going downhill. No voice made an explanation. The experience explained itself to him. his face cut through the frigid air as he began to descend, moving through the substance called snow on the vehicle called sled, which propelled itself on what he now knew, without doubt, to be runners. Comprehending all of the things as he sped downward, he was free to enjoy the breathless glee that overwhelmed him. The speed, the clear, cold air, the total silence, the feeling of balance and excitement and peace. Then, as the angle of the incline lessened as the mound, the hill, flattened nearing the bottom, the sled's forward motion slowed. The snow was piled around it, and he pushed with his body, moving it forward, not wanting the exhilarating ride to end. Finally, the obstruction of the piled snow was too much for the thin runners of the sled, and he came to a stop. He sat there for a moment, panting, holding the rope in his cold hands. Tentatively, he opened his eyes. Not his snow hill sled eyes, but for they had been open throughout the strange ride. But he opened his ordinary eyes and saw that he was still on the bed, and he had not moved at all. The old man, still beside the bed, was watching him. "How did you feel?" he asked. Jonas sat up and tried to answer honestly. "Surprise," he said after a moment. The old man wiped his forehead with his sleeve. "Whew," he said. "That was exhausting. But you know, even transmitting a tiny memory to you, I think it lightened me just a little." "Do you mean..." "You did say I could ask questions." The man nodded, encouraging his questions. "Do you mean that now you don't have the memory of it, the ride of the sled, anymore?" "That's right. A little weight off this old body." "But it was so much fun, and now you don't have it anymore. I took it from you." But the old man laughed. "All I gave you was one ride, on one sled, in one snow, on one hill. I have a whole world of them in my memory. I could give them to you one by one, 1,000 times, but there would still be more." "Are you saying that we could do it again?" Jonas asked. "I'd really like to. I think I could steer by pulling the rope. I didn't try this time because it was so new." The old man, laughing, shook his head. "Maybe another day for a treat. But there's no time, really, just to play. I only wanted to begin by showing you how it works. Now," he said, turning businesslike, "lie back down. I want to." Jonas did. He was eager for whatever experience would come next, but he had suddenly so many questions. "Why don't we have snow and sleds and hills?" he asked. "And when did we in the past? Did my parents have sleds when they were young? Did you?" The old man shrugged and gave a short laugh. "No," he told Jonas. "It was a very distant memory. That's why it was so exhausting. I had to tug it from many generations back. It was given to me when I was a new receiver, and the previous receiver had to pull it through a long time period, too. But what happened to those things? Snow and the rest of it?" "Climate control. Snow made growing food difficult and limited the agricultural periods. The unpredictable weather made transportation almost impossible at times. It wasn't a practical thing, so it became obsolete when we went to sameness. And hills, too," he added. "They made conveyance of goods unwieldy. Trucks, buses slowed them down, so..." He waved his hands as if a gesture had caused hills to disappear. "Sameness," he concluded. Jonas frowned. "I wish we had those things still, just now and then." The old man smiled. "So do I," he said, "but that choice is not ours." "But sir," Jonas suggested, "since you have so much power..." The man corrected him. "Honor," he said firmly. "I have great honor. So will you, but you will find that it's not the same as power. Lie quietly now. Since we've entered into the topic of climate, let me give you something else. And this time, I'm not going to tell you the name of it, because I want to test the receiving. You should be able to perceive the name without being told. I gave away snow and sled and downhill and runners by telling them to you in advance." Without being instructed, Jonas closed his eyes again. He felt the hands on his back, and he waited. Now it came more quickly, the feelings. This time the hand didn't become cold, but instead began to feel warm on his body. They moistened a little, the warmth spread, extending across his shoulders, up his neck, onto the side of his face. He could feel it through his clothed parts, too, a pleasant, all-over sensation, and when he licked his lips this time, the air was hot and heavy. He didn't move. There was no sled. His posture didn't change. He was simply alone someplace, out of doors, lying down, and the warmth came from far above. It was not as exciting as the ride through the snowy air, but it was pleasurable and comforting. Suddenly, he had perceived a word for it. Sunshine. He perceived that it came from the sky. Then it ended. Sunshine, he said aloud, opening his eyes. Good. You did get the word. That makes my job easier. Not so much explaining. And it came from the sky. That's right, the old man said. Just the way it used to. Before sameness. Before climate control, Jonas added. The man laughed. You receive well and learn quickly. I'm very pleased with you. That's enough for today, I think. We're off to a good start. There was a question that was bothering Jonas. Sir, he said. The chief older told me... She told everyone, and you told me, too, that it would be painful. So I was a little scared, but it didn't hurt at all. I really enjoyed it. He looked quizzically at the old man. The man sighed. I started you with memories of pleasure. My previous failure gave me the wisdom to do that. He took a few deep breaths. Jonas, he said, it will be painful, but it need not be painful yet. I'm brave. I really am. Jonas sat up a little bit straighter. The old man looked at him for a moment. He smiled. I can see that, he said. Well, since you asked the question, I think I have enough energy for just one more transmission. Lie down once more. This will be the last of today. Jonas obeyed cheerfully. He closed his eyes, waiting, and felt the hands again. Then he felt the warmth again, the sunshine again, coming from the sky of his other consciousness that was so new to him. This time, as he lay basking in the wonderful warmth, he felt a passage of time. His real self was aware that it was only a minute or two, but his other, memory-receiving self felt hours pass in the sun. His skin began to sting. Restlessly, he moved one arm, bending it, and felt a sharp pain in the crease of his inner elbow. Ouch! He said loudly and shifted in the bed. Ow! He said, wincing at the shift, and even moving his mouth to speak made his face hurt. He knew there was a word, but the pain kept him from grasping it. Then it ended. He opened his eyes, wincing in discomfort. It hurt, he told the man, and I couldn't get the word for it. It was sunburn, the old man told him. It hurt a lot, Jonas said, but I'm glad you gave it to me. It was interesting, and now I understand better what it meant, that there would be pain. The man didn't respond. He sat silently for a second. Finally, he said, get up. Now, it's time for you to go home. They both walked to the center of the room. Jonas put his tunic back on. Goodbye, sir, he said. Thank you for my first day. The old man nodded to him. He looked drained and a little sad. Sir, Jonas said shyly. Yes, do you have any questions? It's just that I don't know your name. I thought you were the receiver, but you say now that I'm the receiver, and I don't know what to call you. The man sat back down in the comfortable upholstered chair. He moved his shoulders around as if to ease the aching sensation. He seemed terribly weary. Call me the giver, he told Jonas. I need a drink, and then I will continue on. And then I will continue on. Oh, shit. I would take Tylenol PM right now, but I'm pretty sure I threw them off the side of my bed earlier by accident. Not everything I do is that smart. In fact, most things I do are not that smart. Okay. Chapter 12. You slept soundly, Jonas? His mother asked at the morning meal. No dreams? Jonas simply smiled and nodded, not ready to lie, not willing to tell the truth. I slept very soundly, he said. I wish this one would, his father said, leaning down from his chair to touch Gabriel's waving fist. The basket was on the floor beside him, in its corner. Beside Gabriel's head, the stuffed hippo sat staring at him with blank eyes. So do I, mother said, rolling her eyes. He's so fretful at night. Jonas had not heard the new child during the night because, as always, he had slept soundly. But it was not true that he had no dreams. Again and again he slept. And he had slid down that snow-covered hill, always in the dream, it seemed, as if there were a destination, a something. He could not grasp what. that lay behind the beyond the place where thickness of the snow brought the sled to a stop. He was left, upon awakening, with the feeling that he wanted, even somehow needed, to reach something that waited in the distance. The feeling that it was good, that it was welcoming, that it was significant. But he didn't know how to get there. He tried to shed the leftover dream, gathering his schoolwork and preparing for the day. School seemed a little different today. The classes were the same: language and communications, commerce and industry, science and technology, civil procedures and government. But during the breaks for recreation periods and the midday meal, the other 12s were buzzing with descriptions of their first day of training. All of them talked at once, interrupting each other, hastily making the required apology for interrupting, then forgetting again in the excitement of describing the new experiences. Jonas listened. He was very well that his own admonition not to discuss his training. But it would have been impossible anyway. There was no way to describe to his friends what he had experienced there in that annex room. How could you describe a sled without describing a hill and snow? How could you describe a hill and snow to someone who had never felt height or wind or that feathery, magical cold? Even trained for years, as they all had been, in the precision of language, what words could you use which would give another the experience of sunshine? So it was easy for Jonas to be led to be still and to listen. After school, he rode again beside Fiona to the house of old. "I looked for you yesterday," she told him, "so we could ride home together. Your bike was still here, and I waited for a little while, but it was getting late, so I went on home." "I apologize for making you wait," Jonas said. "I accept your apology," she replied automatically. "I stayed a little longer than I expected," Jonas explained. She pedaled forward silently, and he knew that she expected him to tell her why. She expected him to describe his first day of training, but to ask would have fallen into the category of rudeness. "You've been doing so many volunteer hours with the old," Jonas said, changing the subject. "There won't be much that you don't already know." "Oh, there's lots to learn," Fiona replied. "There's administrative work and the dietary rules and punishment for disobedience. Did you know that they use a discipline wand on the old, the same for small children?" "Kink!" "And there's occupational therapy and recreational activities and medications and..." They reached the building and braked their bikes. "I really think I'll like it better than school," Fiona confessed. "Me too," Jonas agreed, wheeling his bike into place. She waited for a second, as if, again, she expected him to go on. Then she looked at her watch, waved, and hurried towards the entrance. Jonas stood for a moment beside his bike, startled. It had happened again. That thing that he thought of now as seeing beyond. This time it had been Fiona who had undergone that fleeting, indescribable change. As he looked up and towards her going through the door, it happened. She changed. Actually, Jonas thought, trying to recreate it in his mind. It wasn't Fiona in her entirety. It seemed to be just her hair, and just for that flickering instant. He ran through it in his mind. It was clearly beginning to happen more often. First, the apple a few weeks before. The next time had been the faces in the audience at the auditorium. Just 2 days ago. Now, today, Fiona's hair. Frowning, Jonas walked towards the annex. "I will ask the giver," he decided. The old man looked up, smiling, when Jonas entered the room. He was already seated beside the bed, and he seemed more energetic today, slightly renewed and glad to see Jonas. "Welcome," he said. "We must get started. You're 1 minute late." "I apologize," Jonas began, and then stopped, flustered, remembering that there were to be no apologies. He removed his tunic and went to the bed. "I'm 1 minute late because something happened," he explained. "And I'd like to ask you about it, if you don't mind." "You may ask me anything." Jonas tried to sort it out of his mind so that he could explain it clearly. "I think it's what you call seeing beyond," he said. The giver nodded. "Describe it," he said. Jonas told him about the experience with the apple, then the moment on stage when he had looked out and seen the same phenomenon in the faces of the crowd. "Then just today, just now, outside, it happened with my friend Fiona. She herself didn't change exactly, but something about her changed for a second. Her hair looked different, but not in its shape, not in its length. I can't quite..." Jonas paused, frustrated by his inability to grasp and describe exactly what had occurred. Finally, he simply said, It changed. I don't know how or why. That's why I was 1 minute late, he concluded, and looked questioningly at the giver. To his surprise, the old man asked him a question which seemed unrelated to seeing beyond. When I gave you the memory yesterday, the first one, the ride on the sled, did you look around? Jonas nodded. Yes, he said, but the stuff, I mean the snow, in the air made it hard to see anything. Did you look at the sled? Jonas thought back. No, I only felt it under me. I dreamed of it last night, too, but I don't remember seeing the sled in my dream either, just feeling it. The giver seemed to be thinking. When I was observing you before the selection, I perceived that you probably had the capacity, and what you described confirms that. It happened somewhat differently to me, the giver told him. When I was just about your age, about to become the new receiver, I began to experience it, though it took a different form. With me, it was... Well, I won't describe that to you now. You wouldn't understand it yet. But I think I can guess how it's happening with you. Let me just make a little test to confirm my guess. Lie down. Jonas lay down on the bed again with his hands at his sides. He felt comfortable here now. He closed his eyes and waited for the familiar feel of the giver's hands on his back. But it didn't come. Instead, the giver instructed him. Call back the memory of the ride on that sled. Just the beginning of it, where you're at the top of the hill, before the slide starts. And this time, look down at the sled. Jonas was puzzled. He opened his eyes again. Excuse me, he asked politely, but why don't you have to give me the memory? It's your memory now. It's not mine to experience any longer. I gave it away. But how can I call it back? You can remember last year, or the year that you were a 7 or a 5, can't you? Of course. It's much the same. Everyone in the community has one generation memories like those. But now you'll be able to go back further. Try. Just concentrate. Jonas closed his eyes again. He took a deep breath and sought the sled and the hill and the snow and in his consciousness. They were there, with no effort. He was again sitting on that whirling world of snowflakes atop a hill. Jonas grinned with delight and blew out his own steamy breath into view. Then, as he had been instructed, he looked down. He saw his old hands, furred again with snow, holding the rope. He saw his legs and moved them aside for a glimpse of the sled beneath. Dumbfounded, he stared at it. This time it was not a fleeting impression. This time the sled had, and continued to have, as he blinked and stared at it again, the same mysterious quality as that apple he'd had so briefly, and Fiona's hair. The sled did not change. It simply was... whatever the thing was. Jonas opened his eyes and was still on the bed. The giver was watching him curiously. Yes, Jonas said slowly. I saw it in the sled. Let me try one more thing. Look over there, to the bookcase. Do you see the very top row of books, the ones behind the table on the top shelf? Jonas sought them with his eyes. He stared at them, and they changed. But the change was fleeting. It slipped away in the next instant. It happened, said Jonas. It happened to the books, but it went right away again. I'm right then, the giver said. You're beginning to see the color red. The what? The giver sighed. How to explain this? Once, back in the time of memories, everything had a shape and a size, the way things still do, but they also had a quality called color. There were a lot of colors, and one of them was called red. That's the one you're starting to see. Your friend Fiona has red hair. Quite distinctive, actually. I've noticed it before. When you mentioned Fiona's hair, that was the clue that told me you were probably beginning to see the color red. And the faces of the people, the ones I saw at the ceremony? Giver shook his head. No, flesh isn't red, but it has red tones to it. There was a time, actually, you'll see this in memories later, when flesh was so many different colors. This was before we went to sameness. Today, flesh is all the same. What you saw was the red tones. Probably when you saw the faces take on color, it wasn't deep or vibrant like an apple or your friend's hair. The giver chuckled suddenly. We've never completely mastered sameness. I suppose the genetic scientists are still hard at work trying to work their kinks out. Hair like Fiona's must drive them crazy. Jonas listened, trying hard to comprehend. And the sled? He said. It had the same thing, the color red, but it didn't change, Giver. It just was. Because it's a memory from the time when color was. It was so... Oh, I wish language was more precise. The red was so beautiful. The Giver nodded. It is. Do you see it all the time? I see all of them. All the colors. Will I? Of course. When you receive the memories, you'll have the capacity to see beyond. You'll gain wisdom, then along with colors, and lots more. Jonas wasn't interested just then in wisdom. It was the colors that fascinated him. Why can't everyone see them? Why did colors disappear? The Giver shrugged. Our people made that choice, the choice to go to sameness, before my time, before the previous time, back and back and back. We relinquished color when we relinquished sunshine and did away with all differences, he thought for a moment. We gained control of many things, but we had to let go of others. We shouldn't have, Jonas said fiercely. The Giver looked startled at the certainty of Jonas's reaction, then smiled wryly. You've come very quickly to the conclusion, he said. That took me many years. Maybe your wisdom will come much more quickly than mine. He glanced down at the wall clock. Lie back down now. We have much to do. Giver, Jonas asked as he arranged himself again on the bed. How did it happen to you when you were becoming the receiver? You said that the seeing beyond happened to you, but not in the same way. His hands came to his back. Another day, the Giver said gently. I'll tell you another day. Now we must work. And I've thought of a way to help you with the concept of color. Close your eyes now and be still. I'm going to give you the memory of a rainbow. Oh, I want to keep reading, but that's a good place to stop. They keep giving me, like, good endings. Damn. Okay, I'm going to call it there, and I'll read more tomorrow. I'm very quickly approaching the end of this book. I probably have, I don't know, what's the last chapter? 23? 23 appears to be the last chapter. And that makes me sad. So I'm going to probably... I placed an Amazon order earlier, and I should have picked up these books. Anyway, that's it for now, angels. I hope you have a great night, a great day, and sleep super well when you get to bed. I love you all. Take care of yourselves and be kind.